This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Wrestling Network, welcome to episode number 10 of Wrestling's Chicken Salad. My name's Ben Locke, and tonight is marking a couple of special events here on the show. First of all, as I just said, it's episode number 10, so this is the show that's going to get us into double figures. And this is the point where you feel like you're part of the furniture around these parts, even if there is no merchandise currently available for us. We've also entered March, which means we are in WrestleMania season. And with that in mind, let's bring in my two co-hosts. First, a man so young. He's really excited this year because this is going to be the first time he's going to be able to stay up past eight and watch a WrestleMania live. It's everybody's favorite dirty little bitch. It's Logan Crosland. Logan, good evening to you, sir.
Good evening to you too, Ben, and I'm glad to be your guest for the 10th time. I really appreciate you having me on once again.
I'm your guest for a co-host.
That was an inside joke.
Logan, I love you for that.
Go away, you. You're not on yet.
Oh, sorry.
that's the fourth and fifth wall broken. So I wonder who the other person on the call is. Well, it's our other co-host. He's a man so old, not only is he using this year's WrestleMania as a chance to go down to Florida, but it's also going to be a chance for him to visit all the retirement homes down there, ready for when he goes in 5 years' time. He is the king of the shit take himself, Mr. Sean Kidd. Sean, good evening to you.
Hey, good evening, Ben. I actually got to give you credit for that one because you tied Florida and old people together. That was really, really well done. But I am very happy to be here as one of the guys on episode 10 of Chicken Salad.
Hi, guys.
Hello. Inside jokes abound this evening.
Yes. We're like I say, fourth and fifth walls are being broken all the time. But as I said, gent, it is WrestleMania season. So for this auspicious occasion, we're bringing in a special guest. He's a man you can hear on a variety of pods here on the wrestling feed and has his own show, Piece of the Action, on the Place to Be Nation pop feed. He is the runner-up of the Chris Farley lookalike contest, as well as America's number one Slade fan, and along with our very own Logan and Callum McDougall, our co-chairs of the Sean Kidd Appreciation Society, he is Mr. Matt Souza. Matt, you're on with Sean again. I can only apologize.
Well, thank you for that wonderful intro. I am, in fact, a guest. I am not a co-host, or a guest, if you will, whatever you want to call me. Thank you for welcoming here to talk about this wonderful pay-per-view?
Wonderful underlined twice.
Oh, twice. Wow.
You know, we've got some drinks and some snacks available if you want them.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Where's the bathroom? We'll certainly need to use one.
First door upstairs on the right.
Ah, very good. Okay.
There are a few matches you might be able to use the bathroom in tonight, by the way, so you should be in good shape.
Or the guys use the bathroom in the ring. I mean, it's just kind of
same thing.
Matt, you'll be pleased to know that Sean is the one to blame for this show tonight being picked. Sean, tell the ladies and gentlemen what it is we are going to be talking about.
So I picked this one because when I was growing up in 1930, actually it's not 1930, this is 1993, but this was much maligned as the worst WrestleMania in history for the longest time. I think worse ones have come along at this point, but we are going to be watching WrestleMania 9, or talking about WrestleMania 9.
Excellent, excellent. It's time for your favorite part of the show, Sean, which is live memories. So I will pass it over to our guest. Matt, how old would you have been at this stage in 1993?
Let's see. This was April of 93, so I would have been 23 months old.
23 months. Right. Okay. Okay. I'm always scared to ask the next question of Logan. Logan, are we in negative still?
Yep, negative 4 months. I'm in the womb, but I'm not quite out yet.
you're being carried around.
Yep. Kind of like Sean, I am on this show and all my other shows, but yeah, I was being carried around at this point.
Sean, you would obviously have been a spry 55 at this point. So,
did you and the old guy also
play some backgammon while you were watching?
I just like Susan, was also 23. However, it was 23 years, not months.
Okay. Okay. Did you watch it live or?
I watched. Yes, this would also be one of the famous pay-per-view trends of me watching it on pay-per-view in my apartment, drunk and smoking a pack of cigarettes. So we're back to those days again.
The glory days of the 90s.
Yes. The glory days of Sean, drunk and smoking cigarettes every day.
Now, I've asked Sean and Logan this question when we reviewed Halloween Havoc 98, Matt. Have you been to Vegas?
I have not. It is on my bucket list.
Sean has been there many times. He revealed that to us. He didn't tell us how much he gambled away there.
I I'm not going to tell you this time either.
Very wise.
There's a number, but you don't need to know.
Honestly, it wasn't about the gambling. It's how much I spent at the local entertainment clubs. Let's leave it at that.
Ah.
The plot thickens.
Yes.
I think we all know what he means by entertainment.
The first, The first entertainment club I ever went to was actually in Las Vegas. So.
We'll leave it there, so you know you don't get into too much trouble.
Yep.
So, for the second time, we are in 10 episodes. We are in Sin City itself. Las Vegas, Nevada. Let us open WrestleMania 9 up with Gorilla Monsoon in his full resplendent toga. But we go straight to ringside, which kind of, Sean, you can pick this up. Obviously, we're introduced to a very infamous clip of Jim Ross in a toga. At this point, obviously, you were aware that JR had left WCW.
Well, it's very obvious. I believe this was his first pay-per-view, right? So,
correct.
Hell of a pay-per-view to work for Bill Watts and work for WCW. And now you're going to show up with Vince McMahon in a goddamn toga. So I'm sure that was a good career choice on his part. I'm sure the money was great. I'm sure from a wrestling standpoint, he probably wasn't feeling so good. But this whole thing was really – I thought it was a really good opening. And I don't know if you want me to go into detail about the whole thing or you just want me to talk about Ross. Can I talk about the opening here?
I was going to talk about the opening. I just wanted to
get you go
your
ahead. Go
insight.
For it.
I was going to get you an insight of Ross because I know obviously with your crock and roll.
Yeah, Ross here is very, very weird at this time. Like predominantly I used to watch UWF and WCW and him – seeing him was actually jarring here at WrestleMania. It shocked me.
So, like I say, we open up. First of all, we get a great Vince McMahon intro for Yokozuna versus Bret at the main event, and then we go straight to Gorilla Monsoon at the entranceway. There's nothing usually too unusual about that because Gorilla and Bobby have done plenty of weird entrances and to the shows before, but obviously, as we just said, he throws it over to Jim Ross, who's at ringside, and then we get the opening ceremony of WrestleMania 9. First of all, we get Caesar and Cleopatra on an elephant, of course, because that's the way you always walk around Caesar's. Randy Savage is then out next, looking resplendent on a sedan with quote unquote some Vestal virgins. And in one of the most infamous, famous, funny clips of WrestleMania 9, Logan, we get Bobby Heenan riding backwards on a camel.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite things, because he's backwards and just looks crazy and looks ridiculous. And he was supposed, JR's going on about the whole time that he was supposed to be with the Vestal Virgin, so it's funny that they kind of switcheroo'd on him with Savage, so I really love that part. And Bobby is always a good comedy character, so it was a really good opening for sure.
And Matt, I actually think it's one of Savage's best outfits, the whole way he's trying to blend in with the Roman theme.
Yeah, Savage, look, everybody really looks incredible. And, you know, one thing I really noticed about this opener is, like, they didn't half-ass the Roman theme. Like, everybody was wearing a toga or some sort of, like, Roman Empire garb. Even the cameramen were wearing togas, yes, for Christ's sake. Like, it's just, it's a level of detail that WWE used to do that they really don't do now, and I wish they would go back to doing stuff like that. And, you know, before we move on, I did have a question. Sean, a question for you. How did this compare to the original Roman Empire and the original Roman Colosseum, since you were there and all?
Well, here I will tell you, Cleopatra is hot here, and she was hot then as well, if that helps.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Great.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Place to Be Nation bylaws, I need to make at least one Sean Kidd old joke every time we're on a podcast together. I mean,
yeah, it's
only
it's in
one. You're gonna have many tonight, I'm sure.
I said at least one.
Okay.
So our opening match, gentlemen, is our first title match of the night for the Intercontinental Championship. It is Shawn Michaels versus Tatanka. I'm going to throw this question open. I'll give you a little bit of time to think about it. Tatanka is one of the top three wrestlers we have seen over the course of the podcast. Who do you think we have seen the most on the pod? Just don't answer yet. Just that's a little question for you. So who's the wrestler we have seen the most over the 10 episodes? We'll reveal that as we go on through the night. I want to first of all bring up Shawn's mullet. We are in prime Shawn Michaels mullet territory here. Absolutely magnificent. But I'm going to throw it to Logan, because Shawn's accompanied down to ringside by somebody, isn't he?
Yeah. I think she'll make an appearance towards the end of the match, or attempt towards the end of my thoughts, but I have her in the room with me, so she'll make an appearance here in a minute.
Excellent.
I'll go through my thoughts on the match real quick, but I really like this match. I thought this was a great opener. The finish kind of ruins it a little bit, just because, you know, you would have liked to have seen a finish of some sort. And I really think that there wasn't really any reason not to give Tatanka the belt here. So he had the undefeated streak going, and, you know, he had all the momentum behind him. He had beaten Michaels a couple of times leading up to the pay-per-view. So I really would have liked to have seen Tatanka win this one, even though we all know that future Tatanka is not my favorite wrestler. But as Luna and Savage are coming to, or as Luna and Shawn Michaels are coming to the ring, Savage asked, "Who or what is Luna?" Like, she was a thing and not a person. So I thought that was hilarious. I loved at one point Tatanka catches Shawn while he's diving from the top rope into an arm drag. I thought that was an awesome move. It pretty much any time Michael seems to be getting some momentum, Tatanka seems to kind of cut him off for the first about 10 minutes of the match. Michael selling the shoulder the whole match is pretty stellar. He hits the sweet chin music when Tatanka's coming off the top rope with the chop. I thought that was pretty cool, pretty impactful. And there's another good Savage line in this match where he goes, "Shawn Michaels, I know why he's here. Fantastic!" And that's all he says, and he just it's just like three random thoughts, and it just no answer at all. But there was a pretty brutal electric chair spot at one point when he was going for a victory roll, and I thought this match just really heated up at the end. The crowd was super behind it. But yeah, this was just a great match, and I gave it 3 stars just because I thought it was a really solid opener. And
I think I would have gone higher had it had a finish and maybe Tatanka won the belt. But I'll bring our guests in real quick. But yeah, she's being a little nervous today.
I was just going to follow this Michaels guy to the ring because he was a hunk. Maybe later he'll touch my titties. I just got to keep that bitch Sherry away from him. That's all I got to do. Back to you, Ben.
thank you, Logan Luna.
You're welcome.
And how do you feel, Luna, about winning Miss Ontario as well? I thought, you know, when Bobby announced that must have been a great honor for you.
Oh, I think Luna has left the building.
She has. She was that upset by things. So yeah, I mean, I thought this match was okay, but like there was just too many, like Randy Orton was taking some notes on these chin locks and rest holds because it was like good action and then we'd have like 2-3 minutes of a headlock.
Yeah, this to me it felt like a really good house show match and not necessarily an opener to Mania. Like, it was good, it was solid, but I thought it was kind of unspectacular. And I do think it went a little bit too long for what they were trying to do here. And kind of felt like, to me, that they booked themselves into a corner. Like, they don't want Shawn to drop the title yet, but they don't want to give Tatanka the belt, and they don't want Tatanka to lose clean. So that's why they had the shit finish. And shit finish, by the way, a theme, one of the many themes of this this pay-per-view tonight. But yeah, before the awful finish was a really solid match. So I went 2 3/4 on it.
Excellent. Shawn, there was some, as the boys have already said, there were some really good spots. I particularly liked the one where Tank goes up to the top rope and gets caught with Sweet Chin Music, although obviously at this stage it's not called that, it's just a crescent kick.
Yeah, I had that in my notes too, so I did like that spot. So, and does anything else say HBK 1993 more than gross Luna Michonne? I mean, let's just think about that. Luna Michonne with 93 HBK. And then to your point, they brought up Miss Ontario. Now, I hope Luna has left because I'm bad mouthing, but she's gross. And there's no way she's, I mean, I don't know what that says about the women of Ontario. So I apologize to our Canadian female listeners if we have any up there. You know, yeah, I really like this. And on the flip side of that, face Sherry I always found so weird too, because Sherry just seems like a natural heel. But I really like this. There was a spot with Michaels where he was running the rope in a headlock and Tatanka fell back into a back suplex that looked really good. There were some good sequences with arm drags, drop kicks. Tatanka had some like great chops. And again, I'm a self-proclaimed non-Tatanka lover, but he's really, really good. I thought Shawn Michaels looked more sloppy than Tatanka tonight because he had a couple of sloppy sunset flips. There was a sloppy roll that he did, but Tatanka just looked strong, breaking out DDTs and shoulder breakers. And there was a shoulder spot where Shawn got thrown into the post that just sounded sick. You did bring up the slowdown a little bit, which kind of hurt the match a little bit for me. The other thing I hate about Tatanka is I hate when he does his, I call it Tatanking up, where he does like, he jumps up and he starts jiggling with his chops running around the ring like Hulk Hogan. I hate that shit. But, you know, nice near pinfalls, power slam. Tatanka looked really, really good in this match and probably one of the better Tatanka matches I've seen. The ending, yes, sucks. It was very tropey. I don't think there was any way around what they were going to do, but we got a DQ, obviously. But very good. Very fast paced for the most part, and honestly, a lot more fun than I remembered it. I gave it 3 stars.
I went 2.75, and the only reason I did drop it is because, like I say, because of the results. That's why it does not get into hidden gem territory. Just because it was just it, like I say, it was really good, and then they just slowed down. I mean, I don't know if it was just the outdoors and the fact that we were going 15 minutes or what, but there was just no need for it. They could have wrestled the match at a reasonable pace without having to slow things down every couple of minutes just to put a chin lock on.
Yep. Hey, Ben, I think Luna wants to come back in and respond to Sean's comments.
I thought she had left.
Luna,
listen here, you asshole. I'm a beautiful butterfly. My daddy told me that all the time, and Shawn Michaels is going to tell me that later. Wink, wink.
Might have been as cute as a caterpillar before it was the butterfly. You ugly. please.
Luna, I don't care what Sean says. You're an Ontario 10.
Again, we apologize to our Canadian one listener in Canada.
Aaron doesn't listen. Don't worry.
Oh. Man, Logan on fire tonight.
He really is.
Really is. I love it.
I'm just getting started, baby.
Once this match is over, we head backstage to Mean Gene, who's looking truly magnificent. Of all the announcers tonight, he's rocking that toga the best, in my opinion, with that red ensemble. He brings out the Steiner brothers. And yes, the answer to my trivia question is one Mr. Rick Steiner. We have seen him 5 times.
Really?
Yes.
Not what I was thinking at all.
This is Rick's 5th appearance tonight. Scott and Tatanka have done 4 each. It's a very basic interview where they just promise to beat the shit out of the head shrinkers, basically. So, Matt, we are going to our second contest, which is the head shrinkers versus the Steiner brothers. I am pleased to say that JR, in his second match, is already busting out the college sports references, and we also get Slobberknocker 2 minutes into this. But I love this match. I don't know about you.
Oh, it's so good. I mean, we'll get into it later. It's probably my match of the night. I've seen this match probably 800 times or so. Was on an old VHS tape I had. It was like best WrestleMania matches, and for whatever reason, this match made the cut. So I mean, I've seen this match hundreds of times. I love it every time. It's so hard hitting, and I mean, it's the Steiners. It's like you could argue it's peak Steiners. The head shrinkers are so good. I mean, it's just everything about it is hard hitting. It really doesn't feel like a WWF match. It feels kind of like an NWA style match where they're throwing bombs. They're clotheslines and the Frankensteiner, and there's that one crazy spot where I think it was Samu goes to throw Steiner onto the top rope with a flapjack, and Steiner totally misses the top rope and crashes to the mat, and then Afa cracks him with the kendo stick. Just such a great spot. I love the no selling from the head shrinkers, and yeah, it's 4 big guys throwing bombs for 15 minutes. Super fun match. I went 3.25 on this.
Excellent. Sean, not only did we get the spot that Matt described, but also the insane power slam from the Doomsday Device position from Rick.
Holy shit. Everything that Matt said in the bag of chips, that freaking Steiner thing over the top rope legit should have killed him. Like, that was just sick. And the cool thing was the angle of the camera, because you just see him go over that rope and you literally just see him drop head first and you see nothing. And you're just like, he looks dead. Like, you think he's got to be dead. But here's what's interesting. You brought up, we have seen Rick Steiner 5 times. This is also what? We have a repeat match here again. Head Shrinkers versus Steiners, because we saw it in 89 as well. When we looked at the Starrcade as well. Not the only repeat match of Chicken Salad that we will see tonight, by the way. But yeah, I thought it was great to have Ross on the call for this. The other thing I really liked is the Steiners didn't come in here with some dumb redone gimmick. They were legit just the Steiner brothers. I think if anything, the most annoying thing about it was the music and the Michigan and Steiner's hair. My God, you brought up Shawn Michaels' mullet. What about Rick Scott Steiner's hair in this? Holy shit. he had some hair in this. But yeah, the double, I thought there was a double top rope Steiner lines that ruled. You brought up that suplex off of the Doomsday Device. That was freaking insane. They just beat the shit out of each other. And I'm like, Matt, I absolutely love this match. It's one of those, you know, hidden gem WrestleMania matches that, I don't know if it's really a hidden gem. I think a lot of people, if you talk about WrestleManias, they will definitely stand out this match and say, hey, I remember that match. That match was really good. I don't think it's as hidden as we might think it is. I think people know exactly what it is, but just good shit. I think it was hurt a little bit because there was some long heat on Scott Steiner, but I also went 3.25. I love it.
You talk about Scott Steiner's hair. I mean, I don't know if you guys are familiar with this reference from Friends, but Fatu and Samu had some Monica in Barbados hair. That throw was going out of control. Very true.
But that, I guess for me, I guess it's so alarming because Scott Steiner's head is so fat and big and just like bulging at this point. The hair almost looks like a helmet on his head. That's what it looks like.
I also went 3.25 stars on this because I absolutely love this. Logan, are you going to make it a clean sweep of love around here before we get really angry about things?
Yeah, I absolutely love this one. Physical, stiff. Yeah, I mean, right out of the gate, Scott and Fatu are just beating and kicking the shit out of each other. So really nice to see. And at the very beginning, Scott crushes him with a clothesline that was pretty brutal looking. I made note of the spot where Samu kind of dumps Scott over the top rope and almost kills him. I made a note of that one as well. And then the shot that Afa gets in with the kendo stick was pretty brutal. But yeah, there's no way a normal human being would live through that. So more power to Scott Steiner. But this is the match where Bobby starts doing a lot of the Oklahoma jokes, and it'll never not be funny. It'll never not be funny.
The Oklahoma waitress, I think, was a joke he was talking about, right?
I didn't write it specific one down, but yeah, this is when he really started going in on JR being from Oklahoma, so well, I always love when Bobby really ribs somebody like that.
Well, Ross made a slobber knocker comment, and he started making a slobber knocker joke about a waitress in Oklahoma, which had me dying. I was dying.
You know, something else I just thought of, too, sitting here talking about this match, is there a chance that you could directly tie Scott Steiner's Steiner Math promo from TNA? Can you tie it directly to the concussion he suffered in this match when he flew over the top rope and crashed landed on his head?
And not only that, how about him being too big to do the Frankensteiner now and almost dying on that, too? It's unbelievable. Well,
he botched the Frankensteiner here a bit. It was like...
Just a little bit, because he's too big to do it now.
Yeah. And he was trying to flip a guy that was, you know, 350 pounds or whatever. Can't be the easiest task.
I mean... Yeah. To be fair, that should not have worked on either head shrinker, because we know how hard their heads are. So that should never have worked.
It's a great point.
You know what? We also got to give and again, I don't want to keep talking about the match because I know we're going to move on, but the Why? Samoans.
This is so good. In
I,
the
know,
rest
I was going to say, this might be the only good thing to talk about. We got to get to this shit
eventually, guys. That's what the premise of this podcast is. But is there any, like, I almost feel like the Samoan family, like, they raise the bar and they, like, hold the award for the group that can do the sickest flip in a clothesline, because these suckers, man, when they get hit with clotheslines, they flip like nobody else does. Like, the way they flip on that clothesline was sick. And I feel like...
Yeah, inside out flip.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Fatty with his 1.5 somersault saddle is of a clothesline is amazing.
But all said, this match fucking rules, so...
I went 3.25. I never finished, but yeah, the only other thing that I pointed out was that what the other guys pointed out, the power slam from the Doomsday device was fucking awesome, and then Scott obviously somewhat botches the Frankensteiner, but it's still fucking awesome regardless of whether he botched it or not. But yeah, 3.25, I went that as well.
I feel like that power slam spot is an all-time spot. Like, that is a very underrated spot. I think that is, like, one of the greatest spots I've ever seen in a wrestling match. Just saying.
Oh, it's insane. It's brilliant. Yeah. I mean, the thing is, like, the botched Frankenstein, you kind of forgive because the match is that hard-hitting, you know? It kind of works within the context of the match.
Damn it, talking about it, I want to raise my stars. We need to quit talking about it.
5 stars. I'm just kidding.
I feel like I'm underrating it, and I'm going to get called atrocious later on. So,
well, we've all gone 3.25, so I think we're all in the right ballpark.
Okay, well, so if we're atrocious together at least.
Hey, Sean, it's a 5-star match by Steiner Math.
Yeah, okay, then that's exactly.
Logan's got a good point. Yes, great point.
Let's move on then as quickly as we can. Backstage once again, where Mean Gene has been joined by Doink the Clown, who has managed to pen Caesar. There's a statue of Caesar behind if you haven't already got that. He warns everyone that Crush tonight may be suffering from double vision. Something might be afoot here. Sean, before we talk about the match, can we just... talk a little bit about heel Doink, because he's like one of my favorite characters ever.
He is one of my favorite characters ever, and the guy who plays him, Matt Bourne, is one of my probably underrated favorite heels. Like, just going back to World Class, he was a great heel. He's also a great wrestler. I mean, if you go back to, yes, he was stuck with a terrible gimmick in Big Josh, but if you go back and watch some of his matches, he's had some bangers like Arn Anderson and mm-hmm. some main event matches with others that were really, really good. And FYI, Doink the Clown was in the first WrestleMania. Does everybody know who he faced in the first WrestleMania?
Mm-hmm.
Who did he face in the first WrestleMania?
Go on, Matt.
Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
Correct. Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. So, yeah, so I'm sure most – well, I'm sure the Chad Campbells of the world know that, but I just wanted to share that with other people. But yeah, I loved Born Doink, and it's unfortunate that Born doesn't last in his character, because this was a really good character, because this is a takeoff kind of It. If anyone saw the movie It or read the book It, I feel like that's what they're trying to go for with this. And Born had this character just nailed shut. I mean, I love that he desecrated the statue. And I actually thought that if you watch TV at this time, they actually built the match pretty well. And I did like the double vision reference, which of course gives away the match, but in 1993, when you're watching it, you had no idea what the hell he's talking about. So yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, exactly. My first note about the match is how colorful the match is, because there's a lot of neon and bright colors going on there. Your HD telly is going to absolutely crack if you're watching this. just prepare yourself, because there's a lot going on here. Matt, the match, like Sean says, the build up is really good for this, but the match itself isn't that great.
No, it's not great. And I mean, as good as Matt Bourne is, Crush is really not at this point. So, I mean, it was kind of almost like a styles clash, really. I mean, Crush really didn't do much of anything outside of like punch kick type stuff. So it was just kind of very punchy, kicky. There was one point, I don't know if it was Doink's fault or Crush's fault, but Doink hit the weakest looking pile driver in wrestling history. Like, it just, he Crush's head barely grazed the mat. I don't know, do you want me to talk about the finish now, or you want me to...
Yeah.
So the finish, the second Doink comes out from under the ring and cracks Crush with a loaded arm, a loaded glove, if you will, and Heenan loses his mind saying, "Oh, it's an illusion! Oh!" It's not a great match. Like I said, very punchy, very kicky. I honestly didn't have too many notes on it, because literally the match was all punches and kicks. So I only went a star on it. And another not great match with another ridiculous finish. That's two out of three. Two out of three ridiculous finishes so far tonight. Let's keep count.
Yeah, we'll keep count as we're going. Logan, did you fall for the shenanigans?
No.
Oh.
I did make the note that this was a matchup of pretty great entrance themes. I like both of the guys' mm-hmm. entrance themes that come out to this match. But I said things must have been pretty steamy backstage, because Doink was already missing like the paint around his chin, so he was already missing paint when he came out to the ring. So I made another note that not that Crush is the most talented guy, but just his look and how big he was and how strong he was, he should have been a little bit bigger of a star during this period, I feel like. But like Matt said, he's not the most talented guy in the world, but I think he definitely should have been a bigger part of their roster at this point. But Crush really brutalizes Doink early. He hits a pretty brutal pile driver at one point. And I made the note here that the strength of the guys during this time period is unreal, because this is the third match, and he actually catches Doink with a power slam coming through the air off the top rope. So that's like the third time, because Tatanka did it in the first match, and Rick obviously did it in the last match. But this match was just kind of basic. There wasn't much to it, and like Matt said, it's just kind of punchy, kicky. So I went 1.5. Just because I didn't hate it, but it wasn't anything special at the same time.
Sean, back to you. This match, like you say, the build was really good, but the match itself is, like the boys have said, is so basic.
Well, the match is basic because Crush sucks. And
yeah.
Again, the hair continues. It's basically, it's just a long, boring squash until Doink, I guess, drops Crush on the top rope. Matt brought up the pile driver. The power slam was great, but again, we saw it earlier in two matches that I thought were better, and the power slams were done better. And I hate Crush's finisher. That is the stupidest finisher ever. Here, let me crush your head. It is just so stupid. And at the time, the double doink thing was kind of cool. I actually popped a little bit for it because it made Crush look like a total idiot. And I was shocked at the time that doink won. I think this was considered a big upset at the time, if I can recall. And I did enjoy the swerve finish, but yeah, this match is awful. I'm with Matt, and I went one star on it. Crush is god awful. I never understood the appeal of Crush.
That was my other question. Like, I'm guessing the answer is no, but I'm gonna ask you the question anyway. So, should Crush have been pushed any further?
No.
not at this. A year later, maybe, but right now, no. Not at all.
Yeah, I didn't mean like this year, but like just in the couple of years following this, I think he just seems like a Vince McMahon guy. I feel like he should have been like the, you know, one of the bigger stars in the company in his mind at least.
Well,
yeah, and I think in 93 you needed more faces, right? They didn't have a whole lot of faces in 93, and I think Crush filled a gap. That's what I would think.
Yeah, that's right.
You've got to remember, he ticks all the Vince boxes. You know, he's tall, he's muscly, and he's got a full head of hair. What more needs?
So much hair.
It's the best part of Crush is the hair at this point.
No, it's that fantastic finisher.
You better watch it, brother.
And speaking of great hair, we go to the crowd where we are joined by Todd Pettinger with his quasi mullet thing going on. With some very generic, some very generic Japanese photographers who are real big fans of Yokozuna, number one.
Yeah, this segment goes just about how you would expect it to go for a segment with non-American folks in a WWF in 1993. So that's all I'll say about that. Goes just about how you would expect.
Yeah, Vince McMahon training in diversity and culture, probably not the top of the heap of WWF HR training, I would imagine.
No.
Diversity is not a thing around here.
He takes any chance. McMahon never change, because he is the same way then as he is in 2021.
Yeah. And get it right, Ben, it's Todd Pettingzoo, not Pettingo.
Sorry.
God, I hated him. there's one that comes. There's something he does later on tonight though that made me laugh my ass off. So we'll talk about it.
I think we've all got it.
Sure we do. Yes.
Our fourth match of the night, Jesuit, pits one of the hottest heels in the company, Razor Ramon, against. And there's no easy way of saying this. The laughing goof that is the blandest babyface possibly in wrestling history, Bob Backlund. I'm going to throw this over to Logan because I know he is a big Bobby Backlund fan. Clash of styles, would you say, Logan, if we're being polite?
Yeah, if we're being polite, I definitely think that's the way this could go. But yeah, my first note is, what a random ass combination. I somewhat get that Backlund kind of had a hot streak at the Royal Rumble, lasting like over 60 minutes, I believe. I understand that maybe you want to get him on here, but Razor deserves so much better at this point, because he was just in a world title match at the last pay-per-view. So, I mean, he's obviously a big deal, and they want him to be a big deal, and they just throw him in with this jamoke that just is randomly coming in for like this little shot in the dark, and he's pretty much gone somewhat soon after this. I think he has a few more Raw matches, but I bet Hall was absolutely pissed that he got stuck with Backlund here. Maybe he took it as a compliment and that he could learn from like a old veteran, I guess. But even the finish in this match is a roll up completely out of nowhere, and it ends it early. And I just said, thank God it was as quick as it was. But I only went half a star, and that's just because I really like Razor.
I mean, Matt, you know things are bad when they're calling the missed spots on the commentary.
Yeah, I mean, Logan pretty much said all my thoughts too. I mean, just a gigantic waste of time. It's a waste of Razor. It's kind of a waste of Backlund too, if you think about it. I mean, he was in the Rumble for an hour. So and you give them a 4-minute random throwaway match on pay-per-view. Like, I mean, they could have done something else with them. And it's just odd that Razor wins with a roll-up. He doesn't even hit his finisher. Like, it's just so strange. Like, if you want to put Razor over against a guy who's considered to be one of the best champs of all time, why not have him win with his finisher? Not only put him over, put the finisher over, too. Like, it's just, it's a wasted opportunity. Complete filler, waste of Razor. I went half a star on it, too. Just a weird, weird match.
Sean, I know that Backlund was one of your favorites when you were 30.
I hate you. I pretty much what everybody else said. You know, it's funny, both these guys are coming in hot from the Royal Rumble, right? Ramon faced Brett, Backlund was in there for 60 minutes, so good. It was so jarring to see Backlund in 93 when you think about him in 83. And it's also, if you think about it, very genius what they do with him in a year from this standpoint. Mm-hmm. I mean, the run he has in this return is really great, but you would not know it by watching this match. So it's so out of place. You know, Bobby right away jumps into the Opie comments and Beaver jokes, which is probably one of the funniest parts of this great match. Crowd was actually chanting for Razor at one point. There's so much punching and stomping here. You know it's bad when I make a note that the hit toss by Backlund looked good, and so did the underhook suplex. And then his atomic drops, which is a whole nother story. But Ramon winning, like Matt said, with a small package was so dumb. I mean, why are they protecting Bob Backlund to get a sneak win from Ramon? It's just stupid. So I also went half a star. What a waste of space this was.
Yeah, I went half a star too. When one of my notes is going on about Razor's black outfit looking so bad, because considering like in WCW all he wore was black and red and it worked perfectly, it was just so bad. Like you say, he was coming off the Rumble and then 2 months later he's put in with this, and it's just like it is basically 70s versus 90s offense. But we do get, gentlemen, the first mention of the Bret Hart Lex Luger confrontation. They don't show it on camera, but we do at least get a mention of it.
Of what? The Bret Hart Luger thing?
Yeah.
Oh, the breakfast where Luger attacked Bret at the brunch or whatever. So yeah, that's kind of an interesting thing they're doing there, is they're mentioning something that happened earlier. So I guess they're implying that at some point we're going to get Bret versus Luger, which maybe was where they wanted to go after this, who knows? But that was so random.
Yeah, I don't think Hank would like that though, Sean. We don't want to upset Hank too much. But, I mean, he's going to join us later on, so you know we've got to keep him in the good books.
He's upset. Don't worry, he told me.
Oh, is he? Oh God! Oh no! Don't.
I mean, he's upset about other things, but that just, yes, just made it a little bit worse.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't want to, you know, I'm just adding to the pile, basically, and I don't want to do that. You know,
maybe we should have Luna go over to Hank and relieve some tension for the poor guy.
Now, what are you implying, Sean?
Maybe a back massage, maybe? I don't know what you're talking about. Back massage from Luna?
Is this at one of these entertainment clubs things that you were talking about earlier?
I'm innocent in this. Let's move on.
Hey, okay,
I mean,
you're
I mean, back massage basically lives under Joe's desk, so I mean
that is correct. That
nothing
is correct.
Like a back massage from an Ontario 10, I always say.
that was her entertainment portion of the pageant. That was her talent, massages. In quotes, massages.
I get it.
What are we doing?
Massages, Matt. Massages.
Oh. Now I get it.
We go backstage again where Mean Gene is with Money Inc., who are getting ready for their big tag title match for this evening. They laugh away the threat of the Mega Maniacs whilst looking back at the attack on Brutus Beefcake that took place on Monday Night Raw. Mean Gene says he's not a betting man. I put in brackets, yeah, right. But he thinks that he would put a bet on the Mega Maniacs winning tonight. Money Incorporated also reveal that Hulk Hogan was attacked outside a gym last night. I'm doing air quotes of that as well. We head back out to the arena where Money Inc. come out first, where we get to see in his full resplendence the alternative white suit on DiBiase, which I always love. When the Mega Maniacs come out, we see that Hulk Hogan has got a lovely black eye with stitches above. The urban legend is, of course, that it was caused in a fight by Randy Savage, although Savage on commentary never really clues onto it. Bobby tries to needle him throughout the match, but he never breaks kayfabe, which you've got to give Randy a bit of credit for, to be fair. I'm going to go to Matt first with this. Could this match be any more 80s if it tried, Matt?
This match fucking sucks.
There it is!
It's so fucking bad. It's like every single tropey bad 80s house show main event you've ever seen, that's what this match is. I mean, there's literally 5 minutes, 10 minutes where nothing happens. It's like a Hogan match in 1998. It was a precursor to what he would do in 98. He does not give a single fuck. He's cashing in a paycheck. Beefcake looks like a fucking asshole with that face mask on. I mean, there was one part where there was like a never-ending sleeper hold that just killed the crowd. There's one funny part where Hebner tripped over Ted DiBiase's carcass at one point and he fell to the ground. Just a complete fucking mess. Beefcake got cracked with the Halliburton at one point. That was good because, you know, Beefcake deserves to get the shit kicked out of him. The only saving grace for this pile of shit is that the crowd was hot for it. For some reason, they were hot for this fucking match. I do not understand why. It's just, it's so bad. It's 20 minutes for some reason because, well, I know the reasons because Hulk Hogan is in it. I don't do anything for less than 20 minutes, brother. It's just, it's the fucking worst. You got Jimmy Hart magically wearing the referee stripes under his jacket, making the three count. God, fuck this match. At one point, they were threatening to punch the ref after they declared the DQ. Hogan and Beefcake are the faces, correct? I'm just double checking because they were
all, yes.
Ah, I see. Yes. Well, they were threatening to punch the ref as.
But isn't the ref Danny Davis?
Was the ref Danny Davis? I don't know. I think I blacked out by this point.
So I don't blame him if they punch him because he's Danny Davis.
All right, well, I mean, that does make a little more sense. I think I blacked out by that point.
Probably. But, no one would pay it. No one but me would probably know it was Danny Davis or pay.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And then after a DQ finish a DQ win for Hogan and Beefcake, we get 15 minutes of posing, of course, because that must be in Hogan's contract that in the middle of WrestleMania, he has to have a 20-minute pose down with his friend Brutus the Barber Beefcake. Jesus Christ. This match sucked, made me contemplate my life choices. The definition of chicken shit, awful, dud. Big old dud. Dud, dud. I cannot say dud enough times. This is a dud.
So you didn't like it then?
No.
question I'm just thinking while Matt's just been on there. Obviously, pre-96, is Hogan like the biggest heel wrestler ever to be a face? Because he wrestles that same
yes.
style. Isn't
yes.
Yeah,
at this point, absolutely.
I'm glad I'm not the only one who thinks that. Sean, is there any good to be taken from this match? Anything at all? You can give us any kind of positive?
Yeah, I can give positive, but I'm going to watch myself very carefully here.
Okay.
Because I didn't dud it. It's not a great... Don't oh Christ me. Don't pull your column bullshit on me, you fucker. Anyway, so... in all seriousness, I'm joking, obviously. But did I hate it as much as Matt? No. Does the match suck? And is it a big Hogan wank fest? 1,000%. Is it out of sorts in 93 when it should be in 1986 or 1987? Absolutely. But here's the thing. If you think about the build, I don't think the build to this match was necessarily great. I like the storyline of – I mean, did you not love Money Inc. clocking Beefcake in his reconstructed face with a suitcase? You didn't think that was pretty savage? I thought that was pretty funny.
No, that was the best part of the match.
Okay, so let's – we'll agree
yeah,
that the
that
build –
Yeah, that replay. Yeah, that replay.
We'll
great.
Agree the build was good. We'll agree with that. You know, normally I hate Money Inc., but here's the only positive I have in this. I liked Money Inc.'s teamwork in this, if I'm going to take a positive out of anything. Normally, I found Money Inc. so boring, but I also think we have to understand, I think that we knew what this match was going to be before they booked it. I think the people watching this, you brought up how hot they were. I think they knew what they were getting into and what they were going to watch. And what they did was they embraced the nostalgia of what this match was. Doesn't make the match any better whatsoever. It doesn't make it better at all. I think for what it is and what people expected, the build was pretty good. I thought Money Inc. did what they could, but then it just falls apart with Beefcake and Hogan and wanking each other off. You brought up the Jimmy Hart stripe thing, which was bullshit. I know we're doing rebooking at the end of this, and I would probably get Hogan and Beefcake the fuck out of this whole show. But for what it is, for what the crowd expected, the build, and for Money Inc.'s work, I gave it 1 star. But yeah, the match absolutely is not good, and it's because of Hogan and Beefcake 100%. So hopefully that's not too bad of a shit take, but it might be a little bit of one.
I mean, it's a minor shit take, but it's it's 1 star too many, as far as I'm concerned.
So Logan,
and that's fair. I get why you would hate it. I get it. So
Logan, so Matt went a dud. Sean went 1 star. Where are you landing on this?
Well, I'll just say Sean wrapped up the Lenny Lane Award before the break. So well done.
Hey, you know what? I'll take the Lenny Lane Award on a 1 star. I'll take that. I don't have a problem with that.
Well, it's not as bad as your original rating, so, but yeah, I'll definitely agree with
that. No, because I rewatched it, that's why.
Yeah. This is definitely exactly what Matt said. It's a dud. It's a huge Hogan wank fest. This is like if Hogan was thinking to himself, so I'm not allowed to win the titles. How can I stroke my ego / cock the most? And this is what this match is. I mean, it's just so tropey 80s, and it's so out of place in this time period. I made a note that the shiner that Hogan has is really, really bad. Like, his whole eye is, like, black and purple and all that shit. So whoever did get him, whatever it was, really, really got to him. Money Inc.'s, all of their offense is, like, really choke-based and kind of, like, headlock-based and, you know, rear chinlock-based and all that kind of stuff. So it was really boring and lame. This match has another great Savage line. He says, "They're hanging from the rafters." Then he immediately goes back on it and says, "They don't have rafters. They have columns. They're hanging from the columns." So, I mean, he's just all over the place tonight. So I have no idea what Savage was smoking or doing before the show. But at one point, Beefcake gets the quote-unquote hot tag. And I said, imagine thinking Beefcake should ever be the hot tag in a tag team match. I thought the DQ was really BS. I don't even really know what they DQ'd him for, but actually Money Inc. wins this match by disqualification. So Money Inc. actually wins this one. But yeah, the whole ref thing with the jacket with Jimmy Hart is so stupid. And then I said Hogan did an emaciated pose down at the end of the match because he's like all of his muscle mass is gone, so he looks like a completely different human. But yeah, dud, this match is awful, wank fest. Bah, I hate it.
Yeah, but you know the Mega Maniacs can't be pinned, brother. That's not good for Terry.
Yeah,
doesn't work for him, brother.
Doesn't work for him, brother.
I'm not losing it at WrestleMania, dude.
I'm so glad that you mentioned that hanging from the columns line because I got that in, and I definitely think it was Savage who hit Hogan, because Bobby, like I said, it was needling him all match to say something, and he wouldn't do it. You've got to give him credit for trying to stay in character at the very least. After the match, we do get a pose down, and the briefcase that got used in the match has been left behind by Money Incorporated, and it's a briefcase with some papers and a brick inside it, because, you know, The brick inside thing is going to make it really more, is going to make it worse than the heavy metal suitcase as well.
That's just science. I mean, that's how that works.
That's some sign math right there.
And the suitcase doesn't really even come to play in the match, so you have to show there's a brick. That was terrible. That tax forms and a brick in the suitcase, you had to show that during the pose. Just makes it even worse.
And of course some money that they got to hand out to the crowd to make Hulk look like the greatest guy ever. We then throw to the front row where Todd Pettengill is with Natalie Cole with a superb in-depth interview consisting of just one question. Are you enjoying yourself? Yes, I am. That was real money. Did you get some? That's the whole interview. And then for every reason, the CEO of Caesar's Palace is there. And he seems to think that this is bigger than the boxing, the NBA, whatever's been there. WrestleMania is the biggest event that Caesar's Palace has ever held.
I actually wrote, Natalie Cole's having a good time. Fuck you, Todd. Go away. Because that's really what she was saying. And then I said, the CEO of Caesar's Palace looks like your typical mafia guy with his huge eyebrows. That's the notes I made.
Well, you see, if I may steal a gimmick from another show that we are all on, Highway to the Impact Zone, the CEO for Caesar's Palace is Great Value Jerry from Parks and Rec.
Oh, yes.
Yes! That's good. I'm never going to see him in quite the same light.
On Seinfeld, too.
I'm sorry, Ben. Have I ruined WrestleMania 9 for you?
Damn it, Matt. Damn you. Oh, I'm never going to recover. I think at this point, gentlemen, we should take a break because we have three matches still scheduled for tonight, including our world title match and a battle between two of the biggest superstars literally in the World Wrestling Federation. This is episode number 10 of Wrestling's Chicken Salad with me, Ben Lock, Logan Crosley, Sean Kidd, and Matt Souza, and we will see you on the other side. Network, welcome back to part two of episode 10 of Wrestling's Chicken Salad. My name's Ben Locke. I'm here with Sean Cadley, Froslin, and our special guest Matt Souza, and we are talking WrestleMania 9. But before we go back to Las Vegas, Nevada, I want to tell you about some of the great pods that are here on the Place to Be Wrestling Network. First of all, Marty and Matt are back for Pro Wrestling Love with part three of their top 25 shoot style matches of all time. Neil Trauma and Dave Takara have episode number 3 of Chronology, which is a show by show walkthrough of Monday Night Raw, where they discuss Ric Flair, Rob Bartlett, and the Royal Rumble build. On the newest NWA Saturday special, Scott and Dr. G continue to count down their top 100 GWCW matches with numbers 40 to 31. On episode 167 of the main event, Brandon Thurston joins the guys to discuss WWE's year of 2020 and what 2021 has in store with streaming, plus reviews, previews, and more. Talking WCW are also back. Tim, Jenny, and Greg discuss all things Lord Stephen Regal. A very good listen, if I do say so myself. Please rate, review, and subscribe. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon Music. Just search for Place to Be Wrestling Network. You can also check out the other feeds on the Quad of Pods. Easy for me to say. The Place to Be Nation Pop feed is all about pop culture, where you have the best in TVs, movies, comics, and trivia shows. Jennifer Smith is always in the Jenny position with her unique take on hot pop culture and life. Her feed is loaded with great shows ranging from movies, books, Marvel, and so much more. You can join JT Rosero, Aaron George, and Chad Campbell for great shows on wrestling, comics, and TV with the North-South Connection feed. Check out the histories of WWE, TNA, and other great wrestling topics and takes within them. Glenn and Scott Butler are continuing their spectacular journey through music, films, and more on the Non-Toxic Fanboys podcast, where they try to enjoy the things they love. You can find them at Non-Toxic Fanboys on Twitter and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can join the rejuvenated Place to Be discussion group on Facebook. Go to Facebook, look up Place to Be, and request an invite. Discussions and fun with wrestlings, movies, tournaments, and all forms of pop culture can be found there. The 2021 Stretch Project is underway, where we will be determining the greatest NWA / WCW wrestler of all time. Go to facebook.com/GWCW matches and join the group to discuss nominees. I think we all know who number one will be, but it'll be quite interesting to see where the rest of the countdown lies. Be sure to check out placetobenation.com each and every day. There are new voices and fresh takes bringing you articles on topics in the world of wrestling, sports, and pop culture, including Trent's SmackDown on Fox Report, This Week in the WWE by Jon Crow, Paulie's perspective, and Matt's Disney Live action journey. And if you're doing any online shopping from Amazon, be sure to click on the banner on the right-hand side of the Place to Be Nation homepage, or use placetobenation.com/Amazon, and it takes you right to the website and helps PTBN with no cost to you. You can also get some other merchandise from the Place to Be Nation. And as always, I am not the man qualified to tell you about such things. So I am going to hand it over to your friend and mine. It is Mr. Joe Fowler.
Hi, I'm Joe Fowler, and I would like to tell you to check out our PTB Wrestling Store and show off your favorite podcast logos on great merchandise like t-shirts, hoodies, coffee mugs, and more. Just go to www.tpublic.com and type PTBW in the search bar. So, Hank, are you ready to bring the heat to Mr. Criscolo in the next episode? I sure am, Joe. He knows I'm serious now because I stole his car earlier today and left it abandoned. Mr. Ben, will he be on next week or next month's show with us as planned?
I've got some bad news for you, Hank. He's not going to be available till June.
Oh, shit. That motherfucker is running scared. But I promise you one thing. I'm going to get my chicken salad merchandise, and his day will come. I promise you that. Wow. He's coming for...
He's got some heat with Criscolo, hasn't he? Hank, if you're still there, would you like to say hello to our special guest tonight, Mr. Souza?
I don't know who Mr. Souza is, but if he doesn't like Scott, I'm a big fan of his.
Jesus Christ.
If he is a fan, I'll just run over him with my bus like I'm going to do to Mr. Criscolo.
Well. Wow.
So that's
bringing the heat, Hank. I mean, I can't stop him.
He's an angry man, isn't he?
He's a very angry man tonight.
He just threw my mic across the room too. So
between Hank and Luna, what is going on in the Crossland household tonight?
The party.
I mean, they're a gang of misfits. I can't keep them out of here.
He's coming. He'll be coming. I think June. I think Mr. Criscolo. You can let the anger build, Hank. You've got a couple of months yet.
Like I said, his day will come, and I'm coming for him for sure.
I mean, that's a UFC fight in the making, isn't it?
They'll battle atop the Chicken Salad Express.
Oh, don't you go ruining that bus.
Frank the auto thief, or Hank the auto thief. Like, what's going on? I was stealing cars.
Well, I didn't personally steal it. I sent one of my associates out to get it.
Yeah, now he's Hank the mafia boss.
Hank's got some associates. I'm doing the air quotes.
He has connections.
I've got connections, trust me.
In Connecticut.
Hank, I'm going to let you go in a sec, my friend, but you'll be pleased to know that your favorite wrestler is in our next match.
Oh, I'm really looking forward to that one. Lex Luger is the best. He's the best with the children, and he's my absolute favorite.
It's not the children Lex is concentrating on in this match, but we'll get there. Because first of all, his opponent is backstage with our good friend Mean Gene Okerlund, where Gene reveals that the pair of them were on the craps tables last night. See, I knew Gene was a gambling man. They talk about the bionic elbow, and in the process of talking about said elbow, Mr. Perfect gets a bit flustered and refers to Mr. Luger as the Lexicist before Gene decides to correct him and wants to go back gambling. Let's just call off the match and just go into Caesars. That sounds like a good idea. I'll go to Matt first because I have many things to say about Lex Luger's entrances, but I'm going to sound like a pervy old man. So I'll let you deal with it first.
The entrance is it's something, I'll say that. Interesting to see where Luger is here compared to where he is like 4 months from now, like a complete total 180 character change. And you guys obviously covered SummerSlam 93 on this show, so my first note for this match is, oh good, Lex Luger, because the show hasn't been bad enough. That's my first comment this match. But I will say this, in an effort to show that I am impartial, this match actually was not terrible, which for a Lex Luger 1993 match may as well be 5 stars as far as I'm concerned. But, I didn't give it 5 stars, but work with me. Luger was actually motivated here, which is, you know, a positive for sure. The crowd, however, did not give a single shit about this match. They obviously shot all of their collective wads during the Hulk Hogan match previously. Again, another bad finish on this show with Luger hitting the backslide and then Perfect's feet hitting the ropes, but the ref counted the fall anyway. I thought the best move of the entire match, if you will, was Luger clocking Perfect with the running forearm after the match. I thought that was really good. But the finishes on this show are just so fucking weird. Like, you have this, the Doink Crush stuff, you had the finish in the opener. They're just either weird or not good. It almost felt like they were trying too hard to do something different, and it didn't work at all. It was solid, but unspectacular, and I actually don't remember enjoying this match as much as I did. I actually went 2 stars on it, and I remember this match being absolutely horrible, but I ended up going 2 on it. So, yeah, one of the better matches of this show. So.
Is it your opinion on Mr. Luger? Is it everything after 91 you think is terrible? Am I right in saying that?
Yeah. Anything post NWA.
Okay. Which is what we're here. Sean, like I say, I'm gonna be that dirty old man. Let's go back to that Luger entrance again, because that's an image I'm not gonna get out of my head for a while.
It was I will get to that entrance in a minute. So for me, if these two guys had been facing each other in 1989, this would have been a dream match for me, because I absolutely loved 89 Perfect, and Luger in 89 was probably the best year he's ever had in his entire career, and I will stand by that. And I will also agree, I think anything post 91, him winning the title at the Bash that we watched on this show, I'm not a fan of anything Lex Luger, so I'm going to agree with Matt on that one. But if you go from 88 to 91, I will challenge you that there's nobody better in terms of the run they have. He is absolutely fantastic there. Now, in saying that, I do – listen, he's cooked here. You know, his last match or his last real rep match was against Sting in 92 before he, you know, went to the World Bodybuilding Federation, right? And, you know, he's very bloated. I think this is a good gimmick for him because, quite honestly, he's a pompous prick. And, you know, this is a great gimmick for him that later, I guess, Chris Masters took over this gimmick because they had to rush in to be the Lex Express guy. But I also love his ring gear, and I'm not going to be shy about saying it. And the flaming mirrors absolutely popped me with the girls, of course. I thought the flaming mirrors were hilarious. As far as the match goes, the perfect is always good in the ring. Great drop kick. I like him smacking Luger, and the knee drop to the leg I thought looked really good. Some good chops. I thought it was smart that Luger was working over Hennig's back. I always liked Luger's power slams. There's a leaping sunset flip by Perfect that I thought visually looked good. The ending of this was shit. Another shit finish. Luger wins, and, you know, I will also agree with Matt on the savage forearm that Luger hit. Looked absolutely savage. It looked good. I actually liked this match quite a bit more than I remember as well, and I actually went 2.25 stars, so not too far off from that, but definitely remember it being a lot worse back in 93, so I was pleasantly surprised, I guess I'll say, even though it's not a great match.
Logan, this was one of the marquee matches on the show, and like the boys have said, it was pretty much just okay. Rather than it never got any of second or third gear.
Yeah, I'm with the guys. I kind of remembered it being worse than it ended up being, but yeah, I'm with Matt. I went 2 stars on it. It wasn't anything great. It was like you said, it was okay, but you know, it was a good match on this card. I'll put it that way. But there's never been a gimmick more perfectly suited for anybody than Luger with the darts assist gimmick. This is right up his alley. I really think that this is his like real life personality. So I think this fits him perfectly. And the fact that they made him into the Made in the USA character kind of almost ruins his WWE run for sure. I'm Perfect's one of my absolute favorite guys ever, but him as a face always was weird to me, so it's definitely strange seeing him play the face in this. Luger was at his absolutely screaming, howling best. He broke out a lot of howl and howl. You know,
that's one of my bullet points. There's some shouting going on here.
Yeah, but any time he took an attack or gave a big punch or something like that, he was, oh, oh, you know, so. But yeah, like Matt said, another roll-up finish is just, it's one roll-up finish too many. And this card really needed a solid finish. And I think if he was going to get the win anyway, kind of knock him out with the forearm like he did. And, you know, they can at least say he kind of quote-unquote cheated. But yeah, I thought it was fairly solid, but nothing spectacular at the same time.
I would agree with that. I think, what did I give it? Let me have a look. I should have a look. 2 point. Yeah, I went 2.25 as well. And before we move on, I've got to admit, I've got to mention one of my all-time favorite Bobby Heenan lines in this match, where Randy Savage asks Bobby the question, "Do you need to take a polygraph?" And Bobby, quick as a flash, goes, "No, I don't have false teeth." That line just kills me every time. And in those sort of underrated Bobby Heenan lines, that would be right up there. After the match, as the boys mentioned, Lex clocks Mr. Perfect with the elbow, and then heads off to the back. After stirring, Mr. Perfect runs to the back where he finds Luger with Shawn Michaels, where the two of them double-team Mr. Perfect, and then Luger sort of walks off a bit and then lets Shawn carry on, do his dirty work. Shawn, this is obviously preparing something for the summer before the Made in the USA turn happened.
Yeah, at the time I saw this at WrestleMania and I saw it was going to be a Michaels Perfect, I was probably, like everybody else, super stoked to see that match play out. Of course, we actually watched that match for SummerSlam 93, and We didn't get the match that we expected, but at the time watching this, we were super excited to think what it could be, and it's very sad what we ended up getting, and that's probably what I'll say about that.
Yeah, Perfect Michaels is in that greatest match ever before it actually is, before we actually see the match, much like Edge and Randy Orton, of course, which was the greatest match ever. Let's go to our semi-main event, which is The Undertaker versus the Giant Gonzalez. I'll throw it to Matt first. This is one of those great underrated Taker entrances. Let's go with something positive before we talk about the shit show of the match.
Yeah, the entrance is clearly the best part of this match, with the crow and being wheeled out. That ends the positives. Let's go to the negatives. another rotten finish on this show with the chloroform DQ. Like, who in the world is booking these finishes? It's so ridiculous. Again, second match in a row where the best part of the match was the post-match with that chokeslam Gonzalez gives to one of the refs. That was the best move of the entire match. I will say, you know, you look at this match on paper, and obviously you're not going to get, you know, Bret and Owen from WrestleMania 10, obviously. But, you know, I think had this been like a no DQ match or something, it may have been a little bit better if they were motivated. And I know they had a no DQ match at SummerSlam that year that was also suck shit. But, like, in theory, it could have been better, in theory. But, I mean, yeah, this, obviously it isn't great. But I will say, for me, not the worst match on the show. I will say that. I went a quarter star on this only
Jesus
because I'm not finished. Only because I fucking despised the Hulk Hogan match so much that I had to give that a done.
You're saying the Hulk Hogan match is worse than this match?
Yes, I am.
You're out of your fucking mind.
If that makes me,
I don't mind telling you that. I'm sorry.
Well, if that makes me, a junior shit take artist, then so be it. But it's okay. How I feel.
It's a good club to be in, so it's okay.
Saying this match is three stars. I went a quarter star higher.
Yeah, I know, so, but that's like three quarters higher than you should be going.
Like, maybe this is me, but like when I give something a dud. And I don't know if this is how it is, but like when I give something a dud, I consider that like a zero, right? Like that's kind of how I look at it. So if I'm giving this a quarter star, that's 0.25 higher than a dud. So and that's Steiner math for you. So.
All right, I got my landing lane for tonight. So.
I was gonna go to Logan next, but I get the feeling. Well, Sean's pretty much said a fair bit. We're gonna let you carry on, Sean. Go on.
Okay. So what else? You say, okay, so the costume, right? All-time worst costume ever. You brought up Taker's entrance, which I thought was probably one of the better entrances, so that's the positive. But I don't understand. I mean, listen, this is how many goddamn El Gigante Giant Gonzalez matches are we going to watch on this show? Hopefully this is the last one. His selling is terrible. Like, immediately he starts getting punched. Like, he does that little stumbling, goofy face he makes. His offense is so bad. He has a headlock that lasts like an hour. It's just punches and clubs. And again, he just continues to sell terribly. His offense is terrible. The chloroform DQ finish is terrible. All of it is terrible. Savage says you can kill a guy with that. And the question I asked was with the chloroform or watching this match, which one was he talking about? The aftermath was, again, bad, which I'm going to say it anyway. The only thing I did enjoy, what I think Matt brought up, was Gonzalez manhandling the ref, but I thought that was pretty funny. It was weird seeing 93 Taker being taken out on a stretcher, but the aftermath was actually better than the match. I went minus 4 stars on this atrocious piece of shit.
Oh, for God's sake.
I went minus 3, so I'm not that far behind. Sure.
Thank you very much. So Matt is the shit take of the night.
We haven't heard from Logan yet. Excuse me.
Logan has
a hard off Gonzalez. It's a proven fact. So I'll shut up. I'll wait and see what he says.
And breathe, Sean. Breathe.
We have to have one moment of these every episode. So here it is.
So Logan, you've heard Mr. Kidd's rant about this. What say you, sir?
Oh, I mean, this is Giant Gonzalez's match, so I naturally gave it 5 stars, but no, I'm just playing. No, I actually agree with Matt. I can't put it below Money Inc. Mega Maniac, so it got a quarter Logan. Star.
And right that is side literally of, right side of history, Logan. Right side of history.
Yep.
Both are insane. Just insane.
Yeah. Yeah, we know. We know, old man. Settle down. but yeah, I made the note about the entrance, that the fact that he got a special entrance and kind of nobody else did proved how big of a deal he already was. I also made the note that Taker being that much smaller than another human being is insane, because he's a big motherfucker himself, so I thought that was pretty jarring to see. And not that we haven't seen it before, but it's always just crazy to me how much bigger he is than anybody else. But this, like, kind of like Sean said, this is very strikey and choky, so that's a lot of Gonzalez's offense. There's a spot with the stairs that's pretty nasty. I think Taker gets bashed with him he gets run into him, and it makes a pretty loud thud. So at one point, Gonzalez kind of takes out Paul Bearer, and at the same time, Taker kind of dumps Whippleman like yesterday's garbage. So, like Matt said, the Ether finish is pretty lame. So another lame finish among a show full of lame finishes. But yeah, I made the note. Bill Alfonso was actually the ref that Gonzalez chokeslammed. So I said Gonzalez was doing 9-1-1 about 3 years before 9-1-1 came around and started chokeslamming Fonzie all over the place. yeah, all the stuff after the match is pretty all-time bad until Taker comes back out and kind of takes care of Gonzalez and gets him out of the ring.
I have three positive points to make about this match, two of which have been mentioned. So one is the entrance, spectacular. One is that chokeslam Fonzie takes, which is probably the highlight of the match for me. And then the other one is the disturbance. I don't know if you guys picked up on it right at the beginning of the match. You can see it in the top right corner in the crowd where there's a bunch of yahoos who won't sit down. So security have to come in and politely tell them to sit down, or, you know, it goes on for a while. It did distract me for a bit. And it doesn't take much to distract me, boys. So they're my three positives. I also went -3, so I'm kind of where Sean is. It must be an old man thing, Sean. I've decided.
Maybe.
Logan, what did you give it?
Or Matt and Logan are just freaking out of their minds.
What did you give it for a grade? I didn't hear you.
I gave it a quarter. I agreed with you. I couldn't put it below Hogan and Beefcake and all that shit. So it was that match was definitely worse, because it was longer and it was boring and it was a piece of shit.
But unlike Mr. Kidd, I at least understand the boy's rationale. There you go. That's what we've come to hear.
Yeah, there's no rationale.
So after this match is over,
Many Lane, all I got to say.
Yeah, it's coming.
Hey,
by the way,
you guys giving that a quarter star is worse than Lenny Lane. And I don't give a shit what anybody says. Absolutely.
Triple H versus Scott Stein would be my rebuttal.
Yeah, this is worse than Triple H, Scott Stein, or two, that take you guys are getting.
Nope.
Yes, 100%.
You gave 1 star to a half-hour Hogan jerk-off session.
Yes, and you're giving a quarter star to freaking Giant Gonzalez in a freaking suit just stumbling around like a big fucking baboon.
It was 7 minutes. Seven,
yeah, like
7 or 8 minutes.
It wasn't like it was long.
Yeah, I'm not arguing with you. You're both can just piss off. Let's move on.
Lenny Lane.
I'm not falling into it. Yeah, Lenny Lane, you two sons of bitches. Let's move on.
I wonder why people describe me as the referee on this show.
People tune in for this shit. I mean, let's really be honest here.
Okay, so we then go backstage again to Mean Gene, who previews the WWF title match main event coming up. And rather than having an interview with either of the two gentlemen in the match, we've got to have an interview with Hulk Hogan, of course, for some reason. I did put in brackets, even 11-year-old Ben had a bad feeling about this at this point. Apparently, Brett is also a Hulkamaniac. The reason, though, he is there is to challenge either Brett or, quote-unquote, the Jap to a title match. we say Vince's diversity training. Hulk is right behind him there.
I, for one, was shocked that Hulk Hogan used such racist language.
It said diversity training in 1993 WWF did not apply to anyone, period.
We then go back out to the crowd where with our good friend Todd Pettingzoo, where he gives us one of the highlights of the night, where he decides to push a kid totally out of the way so he can talk.
That was so great. I loved it.
So we could talk to some surfer dudes from California in some togas. I will say, however, that the line, calm down, you are spilling beer, is a great line. Matt, do you want to just give any thoughts on these two interviews that prove how things have really moved on since 1993?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, the casual racism shown by Hogan in the pre-match promo. So unlike him. Oh, he's a hero to millions of children, and he's talking like that. Oh, that's a guy that Sean gave 1 star to. How's that make you feel, Sean? Anyway.
I feel pretty good about it. I'm good that he gave 1 star. I'm good with it.
And my only note on the Pet and Gill interview was that the guys in the toga have almost certainly been on a 36-hour bender before that interview.
I've got this sort of image that some kid from North Carolina saw them two lads and thought, ooh, one day I could be as pissed as these lads on a WWF pay-per-view.
And also there's a poor hotel room in Vegas that's missing all its sheets.
It was like the hangover. It was like the hangover 10 years early. So we have our main event of the evening, gentlemen. It is for the WWF Championship between Bret Hart and Yokozuna. And I'm going to go to Logan first. I thought this was pretty okay. Bret does a really good carry job, I thought, with Yokozuna, given the time the two gentlemen had. They only had about 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah, I was going to say, it was a lot shorter than I kind of expected it to be. But, I thought this match was pretty good for for considering that Yokozuna was still kind of green. But Bret really brought him to a pretty good match. I went 2 stars. Bret brought out the rare all-pink outfit that he had on. So he usually has a little bit of black in there, but he had the all-pink outfit on this night. I said this match takes on a whole new life after watching the Yoko doc that was on after one of the pay-per-views recently, where Bret Hart kind of shits all over Yoko for going for the finish like 5 minutes too early or something like that. So it's actually supposed to be longer, according to Bret, at least. But at this point, Yoko was such a beast. He just every move he does has a super, super impact, and all of his belly to bellies and his leg drops and all that kind of stuff he throws a lot of force into. So Yoko's just a monster at this point, and can just throw anybody around. I always loved his super kick. He hits a pretty sweet super kick in this match. He does it with a real thrust, and then he locks in the dreaded nerve hold for about 5 minutes at one point. So They start chanting USA at some point, and I love that Savage and Bobby kind of point out, like, neither of these guys are from the USA. What are they cheering for? So I love that they actually pointed that out, how stupid it was. At one point, Bret exposes the turnbuckle and actually uses it, so I thought that was a pretty heel move for the ultimate babyface Bret Hart to do in this match. But I was also pretty incredibly impressed by the fact that Bret was able to get the sharpshooter and kind of hold it on Yoko for as long as he did. The salt in the eyes being enough to get the finish kind of bothered me. I think I honestly would have gone a little higher if he had just like hit a move after that. It didn't have to be the bonsai drop or anything, but if he had just hit the big leg drop that he does,
I think that would have been a lot better, but it kind of sucks that like all it took was the salt in the eyes to kind of, you know, disorient him. But I'll leave the rest of the match or what happens after for the rest. But yeah, I went 2 stars. It could have been better. And I think, you know, Matt kind of brought this up in our chat before the show that this is probably their worst match together. But I always like these two guys together at the same time.
Brett shitting on an opponent from a big match. That's not like Brett. He's usually full of praise for people.
Oh, sorry, Logan. You just blew my mind with that. Sorry.
That's what I do.
Matt, even though this match was only 10 minutes long, I thought it was better than any right that it had to, because Yokozuna at this point was not a proven commodity.
Yeah, like Logan was saying, these two guys, they always had like a weird chemistry with one another. Like, it's two guys that you wouldn't think would necessarily click with one another, but they did for whatever reason. And yeah, like Logan said too, this is probably the weakest of their matches together, but I think it's still pretty good. And I like the story here where Brett is using moves that he really hadn't used in the past, or you hadn't seen him use in a while. Like, he does a bulldog off the top rope at one point in a springboard splash just to try and chop Yoko down so he can slap on this sharpshooter. So I like that. Yeah, it was short. It was like, I don't know, 8.5 minutes, way too short. I would have liked to see it go a little bit longer. And again, like, I feel like I've said this 18 times tonight, another bad finish. Like Logan said, again, just hit the leg drop, hit the bonsai drop, hit something. It makes Brett look weak to just job out to salt in the eyes. It's just, it doesn't make any sense. But, yeah, it's a good match. So I went 2.25 on it. Like I said, I like their other matches more, but I think before what happens next, a good way to end the night. At least in my memory, that's how it ends.
This would have been this would have been a good way to end the match if it just ended there. Sean, like I say, Brett versus a big man. You know, Brett does like that kind of match, doesn't he?
Yeah, I like this match too. And if you remember when we watched SummerSlam 93, I was a big fan of Yoko and how he moved, his quickness for a big guy. And I think I'm not going to bring up everything Matt and Logan said, because I think they brought up the greatest hits like the Savak kicks. I think Brett worked a smart match against the big man. Logan brought up the sharpshooter, which I thought was really, really good. I also enjoyed Yoko's entrance. I thought it was a really good entrance as well. Here's my fundamental problem with this main event. And by the way, I initially said I was going to give it 1.75. I'm probably going to give it 2, because I do think it's worthy of a 2-star match. My biggest problem with this as a main event at WrestleMania, besides what happens after the match, is Brett to me still doesn't feel like he's a world champion yet. He still feels intercontinental champion to me. Yoko is still kind of fresh. So it just seems like it's too soon for this to be a WrestleMania match as a main event, if that makes sense. You know, if you think about Brett's journey in 93 after this match leading up to next year, I feel that journey makes Brett feel like a world champion to me. Like, if you really think about it, Brett out of nowhere wins the title. He loses the Intercontinental title to Davey Boy. Out of nowhere, he wins the title from Flair in Canada. And I don't feel like he's had time to build up to being a world champion yet. And that's what I struggle with a little bit on this one. But I think it's strong. I think Brett works a good match. I think Yoko is so underrated. He's such a big man. I'm going to go 2 stars on it.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you there, Sean. It's like, it's a pay-per-view main event, but it's not a WrestleMania main event.
Yeah, that's makes what sense. I'm struggling with. Yeah, I'm totally struggling with that.
Like, yep. if it was like today, and you know, there was a Backlash or something like that, you'd buy it as a Backlash main event. But you know, whether it was because of what we're gonna get to, whether they were trying to downplay both guys, it just felt like a bit of an afterthought. I don't know how the rest of you felt, but feel like
it
that.
It certainly doesn't help the way I feel about this being a WrestleMania main event. What's about to happen? So
I'm afraid we're gonna have to talk about what happened next, you boys. So after the match, Yokozuna does a little bit of celebrating in the ring, but then your hero and mine, Hulk Hogan, comes out to, I'm doing the air quotes again, help Brett. Mr. Fuji challenges Hogan to a match right there and then. Brett tells him to go for it, brother. Of course he does. I'm going to read my notes verbatim, gentlemen, and then we'll talk after this. So, Hulk Hogan versus Yokozuna. Hogan wankfest as Fuji tries to hit him with the salt, but gets Yoko instead. Hogan drops the leg for the title. Yoko is champ for 2 minutes and 6 seconds. Fuck this Hogan bullshit right fucking off. This is shit, shit, fucking shit, dud, 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 dud. Matt, I knew you were coming on the show, so I thought I'm going to channel my inner Sousa.
Well, since you read your notes verbatim, I'll read my notes verbatim. Fuck all the way off with this. Fuck Hogan for using his clout to win the title again. And fuck the WWE for giving in to what Hogan wanted. Putrid way to end the show. Before Seth Rollins versus The Fiend, this is the worst finish of a pay-per-view in company history. Dud, 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 dud for Yokozuna versus one-star Hulk Hogan.
Sean, would you like to join us in our angry group, or have you? Because you've been quite positive about Hulk tonight. Is there anything good you want to say
right
now?
This is what pisses me off. I give the match 1 star, and I even said it was because of the money and the build. And I said Hogan was shit, and you guys want to harp on. You gave Hogan 1 star. I did not give Hogan 1 star. Anyway, yeah,
the plan worked.
Yes. I do agree with
reel him in, Matt.
Sean, I have a question. Who did you give 1 star in that match?
Because I thought Money Inc.'s tag work in that match was perfectly fine. And if the crowd was hot for it, they knew exactly what they were getting with the Hogan wank shit. But apparently you didn't listen to it. So fuck off. All right.
I must say, Ben, I've enjoyed my role as bringer of chaos, but I'm done now. Thank you.
Good. Good idea. All right. Can I finish?
Go ahead, shitbag.
Are you sure? Can I finish now?
Go ahead.
All right. Thanks, asshole. Anyway, what I would say is I agree with you guys on this. It's shit, shit, dud, whatever you want to call it. I mean, you can't even call this a match. But yes, this is the highest level of Hogan shit. However, you can give Hogan all the hell you want about it. At the end of the day, it's one man who runs the company. So if you're going to give Hogan shit, you got to give shit to Vince McMahon on this one, too. This was probably one of the all-time worst endings to a WrestleMania that we will ever see.
Playing the role of Agnes tonight will be Matt Sousa. Logan. Have you got anything good to say, Logan, or would you like to join us? Because we have one space available here for this anger train.
Nah, I'm on the anger train. The only positive about this is the crowd fucking loved this shit, so they popped super hard after this was all over, but what an
they
awful
like one, they like one-star Hogan tonight.
Yeah.
It was Vegas. They were all drunk and high. They didn't know what they were doing.
I'm just still recovering from the not saying that Hogan was the one star part about that match, but I'll just try to recover.
I said it from the start. Jesus Christ, what more do you want?
I'm just recovering. I'm sorry, but yeah, the only notes I said were Hogan out for some more wanking would have popped so hard if Yoko had just absolutely crushed him. What an awful ending! Fuck this shit.
Do you know, I think I've just figured it out with Sean. We like to give Sean shit because it's so easy. Just reel him in. We love you, buddy, honest. Come on, let's have a virtual hug. Come on. Everything's good.
You're the best guest Ben has ever had, I promise.
I like being
one of the guys and a guest. So.
It's been fun being on Chicken Salad. I guess I won't be back.
You'll be back. No, you'll absolutely be back. This is what you're here for. You're here to fill that role that you filled tonight. You're good.
It's your role in life, Matt.
What's so, very funny is everybody, I mean, if people ever never listened to this podcast before or heard this, they would think we all absolutely hate each other, which is
Shh, That's the gimmick, Sean.
No, I know. Don't break the kayfabe. I'm sorry.
Damn it.
But we've been doing that all night, breaking the fourth wall. So.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Oh, man.
Public service announcement. I do love and respect the shit out of Sean, I promise. He just,
and I love and respect the shit out of every single one on this podcast, too. And if we're going to break the fourth wall, yes, I gave a shit take on the goddamn Lenny Lane match. So I will freely admit that. Hey, here we are.
You're
right?
Growing. I appreciate
there
that.
There you go.
You're growing you guys, as a human,
guys,
Sean.
But you guys are still fucking insane on Giant Gonzalez.
This is what's called growing in depth, Sean. Welcome.
Okay, Sean, I'll fix it. I'll give Hogan and Beefcake and Money Inc. -5 stars, and I'll give Gonzalez and Taker -4.
There we go.
You're gonna give Gonzalez match 1 star because you enjoyed Undertaker in the match, just like I enjoyed Money Inc. on the 1 star Hogan. How's that?
Sure, let's go with that.
All right.
We'll that makes you feel better. Notes.
Seems reasonable. Right. Seems reasonable. So with Hulk Hogan. With the full Hogan wank fest in the middle of the ring, that is the end of WrestleMania 9. That's the end of that show. It's not the end of our show, however. We have got some awards to give out. Gentlemen, first of all, best match. I get the feeling it's going to be a clean sweep for the Steiners and the Head Shrinkers.
Yes.
Am I correct?
Yeah. Yes, here.
100%. Not even close.
Okay. That gets that one out of the way. You've just heard the healthy debate about it, but I'll go to Logan first. What was your worst match of the night?
Tag title match, without a doubt.
Tag title match, Sean.
Gonzalez Taker, without a doubt.
I'm gonna let Matt break the tie.
Hogan and Beefcake versus Money Inc. made me main roster angry, so that wins.
Then there's no tie. You would say that was the worst match too, based on your rating.
Well, that is true. That is I based on the rating, yes. But I'm expecting Gonzalez.
Oh, you sell out! You're such a sellout. What a
yes.
If you
right side of history.
Notes, if you have a look at my notes, I have got worst match, and I have my notes read worst match any of the Hogan shit. So I could have picked that or the main event. I wasn't too fussy, to be honest. I will stick with Matt. What was your most surprising match of the night? So that could be surprisingly bad or surprisingly good, whichever way you want to take it.
So I did one for each. I had a surprisingly good one, and that was Luger Perfect. I was surprised how much I enjoyed that. And surprisingly bad was also Hogan and Beefcake versus Money Inc., because I do not remember that match being that bad.
I will ask the same question to Sean.
I would say the most surprising for me was also Luger and Perfect.
Logan.
I went with the opener. I didn't remember it being as good as it was, so I went with Tatanka. It's Sean.
Tatanka's always good, Logan. You should know this by now.
Wrong.
I'm glad you too can be wrong tonight, Ben.
He is in the worst main event in WWE history.
Everybody correct. Has been wrong tonight in their own special way.
Like I said, this has been one hell of a show. So
I went with Luger Perfect too. And speaking of being wrong in every way, we get to the Lenny Lane Award for the biggest shit take of the night. Sean, would you like to kick us off?
Well, we already know where I'm going to go. These two guys with their freaking quarter star Giant Gonzalez Undertaker match, that's going to be mine. They don't need to say theirs because we already know what it is. So why even bother?
Maybe I want to say it. Did you think
yeah,
of that?
Exactly. Matt, would you like to have a rebuttal to Sean?
1 star Hulk Hogan and Beefcake versus Money Inc. Shit take. A minor shit take, but a shit take nonetheless. See, Sean, I gave you some credit. A minor shit take.
Wow, we're all growing tonight.
I mean, I was going to go with Hank committing Grand Theft Auto and threatening murder. So, but yeah, I think I'll give it to you, Sean. I think saying Hogan isn't the 1 star part about that match is insane because Money Inc. is terrible. And yeah, they suck.
Okay.
Sorry, Sean, it's 3-1 there. I'm sorry.
Because you gave it minus 3 stars, but you're going to give me a shit take because of that. You are out of your... You know what? Whatever.
Excuse me, the guest has a question. Yes, if I may. When do you rename the award the Sean Kidd Award?
I think you have to get about 5 or 6.
I think I've only won it maybe once or twice. Logan's been winning it for the most part.
I've won a couple of them, Matt. So yeah.
Well, you could share the award. I mean,
well, we could.
Why share the award? Because I shouldn't have got the shit take award for this evening to begin with. So. I like how Ben could go minus 3 on the same match I went minus 4, but I had the shit take of the night. So I'm gonna explain the logic in that to me. You
Steiner
can't.
Math. There is Steiner math.
Steiner math. Okay. We have those concussions that he got in that match.
Yeah. I got a concussion earlier today. It's a damnedest thing.
Our next award is the hidden gem of the night. We only have 5 hidden gem matches out of the 10 shows that we have watched so far. Am I right, gentlemen, in thinking we could put the Steiners and Head Shrinkers as the 6th match?
I would say the Intercontinental title matches. I would say both those could be hidden. I mean, one's 3, one's 3.25. I think both of them would qualify, actually. I guess I would go with Steiners because you have a definitive winner. The other one had a bad finish. So, yeah, probably stick with the Steiners.
How about YouTube? You agree with me, boys? Steiners, Head Shrinkers on there?
Yeah, like Sean said, it's Steiners, Head Shrinkers, but Sean Tatanka would be close for me.
Yeah,
with a better finish
and less rest spots. Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. Logan, our next award is our Fashion Statement Award. Who've you got?
I went with Savage's purple and gold number. I liked his little outfit that he had on with his hat and everything, so I went with Savage.
Matt?
I went with Pettengill for rocking a mullet while wearing a toga.
And Sean?
I went with WCW Jim Ross in his toga. So out of place, and what a way to be introduced to the WWF. I thought it was great.
Pervy old man Ben went with Luger's girls. That was my runner-up, Ben.
That was my runner-up.
But my runner-up was Pettengill with the mullet and the baseball cap. And the toga. It was a whole great combination going on there.
I really feel like we undersold Pettengill abusing a child. First berating one and then pushing the other one. I feel like we really undersold that entire moment. I just have to be clear. Because that was amazing.
It was. For those who haven't seen it, it's literally just before the main event. He literally pushes this child out of the way. Oh, yeah. I forgot. I didn't even mention the game with the Smocky. Is yet?
Well, he berates one first, and then he pushes the other one aside.
That was it. How did he describe him? Was it Spockyers or Prince Charlesyers? I can't remember.
Yeah, he was
making fun of the kid's ears. Yes. Yeah.
And then he goes to ask the kid where he comes from, and he pulls the mic away.
Making fun of this kid's ears while this jamoke is wearing a backwards hat and a mullet in Vegas. Give me a break.
It was such a dick move. It was fantastic.
Fucking panic, dude. Yeah. What a loser.
Sean, while you're here, the most important question of the night, is this show chicken salad or chicken shit?
You know, here we go. I feel like we've been on these run of shows where we're like barely expired salad. So we have 2 stars at 3. We have a 2.25-star match. And then it kind of goes from shit from there, right? 2 stars on the main event. It's barely not chicken shit. I can't go chicken shit on. I'm going to say a slight chicken salad on this one. It's not a great WrestleMania by any stretch, but an all-time worst show. I think it's on the border. It's really tight, but I'm going to go slight chicken salad on it.
Matt, where are you on this?
So I went the opposite direction. I'm going slight chicken shit. And, I mean, it's not the worst Mania of all time, but it's like upper tier of that lower section of Manias. Like, if I'm picking a show to watch, I'm watching WrestleMania 9 before something like 32 or Mania 15 or Mania 2. Like, it's that tier.
Yes.
So I think the atmosphere really carries it. But, I mean, there's bad matches throughout this show. There's 17 bad finishes on this show. And, I mean, the main event, you could argue, is the worst finish to a pay-per-view ever. So, yeah, even with the good stuff with, like, Sean and Tatanka and Steiner's Head Shrinkers, I got to go slight chicken shit. And, you know, the thing is, too, like, some of those other manias are super bloated to, like, Mania 32, I think, is still going, if you ask some people. But, like, the show's a quick watch. It's under 3 hours. So, I mean, by WrestleMania standards, it's quick. So, for me, it's slight chicken shit.
I've left him to the end because he is our sort of analogy man when it comes to describing how the salad is being prepared. Logan, salad or shit?
I don't have a great analogy for this one. I'm sorry, I failed in that that idea. I'll stick with Sean though. I'll go like it's like 50.1 to 49.9.
That is exactly right.
I'll go salad just because. I think the ambiance of the show, just kind of how they put it together and how they did the whole Roman Coliseum kind of thing. I think the commentary was pretty good, even though it was kind of zany at points at the same time. And, like, the only real shows that we've given salad so far are just boring. Like, I don't really think that this was boring. It wasn't ever to the point where I just wanted to just, like, turn it off, like, four or five times throughout the show. Like, Fall Brawl 99 is our worst show so far, and that just bored me to tears, and I literally never want to watch that again. And I can always see watching this show around WrestleMania season, just because it's, you know, it's because it kind of has a cool atmosphere, and I think that really helps this show. And it has a bunch of bad finishes, yes, but it has a couple of good matches there at the beginning. So as long as you have two or three good matches and you can kind of hold my attention in that spot, I'll give it salad, even if it's just slightly.
You've just mentioned the league table. Like you said, Full Brawl 99 is the worst show we have watched. SummerSlam 93 being the best. Where would you put it, Logan? I did give you guys the league table before you head on there. I won't repeat all the shows on there because we'd be here all night.
Yeah, I gotcha. So at number six currently we have No Way Out 2003, which was our last show, and yes. Then at number seven we have Halloween Havoc 1998. So I would put it between those two. So the new six or the new seven would be this show because I think it's a little better than No Way Out 03, but it's worse than Halloween Havoc 98.
Yeah, I think I had it between the Rumble and No Way Out 03, but I wouldn't argue with where you've put it. Same for you, Sean?
Yep, same spot between No Way Out and Halloween Havoc. That's where I would put it.
We will put it there later on. Matt, would you say that? Would you better show than Halloween Havoc? Or
I would put it in the same place, actually, as well.
Excellent.
Better than No Way Out, worse than Havoc.
So. Okay. This show does not have a Scott Steiner Triple H match in it, so we're all right there.
I think we kind of discussed this in the chat. I think that top three group is the Halloween Havoc, Starrcade 89, SummerSlam 93. Those are pretty untouchable. Like, they're not the best shows, but they're not like all out bad at the same time. They just have like all out bad matches, or certain matches are all out bad.
I get the feeling the top three or four matches, like, on the bottom three or four matches are going to be pretty untouchable. Everything's going to be in this middle going forward.
Mm-hmm.
That's just until we get to like the real dirge of the modern day. If we get that far,
we might have blown our heads off at that point. So
yeah. I was going to say you could just avoid that stuff like the plague and just never watch it.
That is kind of the plan.
Episode 30, Super Showdown 2020.
Yeah, we're going to do all the Dubai, the Saudi Arabia shows, one after the other, yeah. So one of the things we do on this show occasionally is we like to rebook these cards, these shows, with our own versions. I will throw it to Matt first. Before you explain your card, just read your card out, Matt, before we actually explain the matches on there.
So, late change, game time decision, because as I'm looking over the card here, I completely forgot to put Doink and Crush on it, so we're changing a match on the fly here. So, the opener for the show is going to be the Steiners and Crush against the Head Shrinkers and Doink in a six-man tag. I think that would be good. We're going to do Shawn Michaels versus Bob Backlund for the Intercontinental title. Razor Ramon will face Mr. Perfect. Tatanka will face Papa Shango. Lex Luger will face Tatanka. Lex Luger will face Tito Santana, excuse me. The Undertaker will meet Bam Bam Bigelow. Bret Hart and Yoko will face each other for the WWE title. And Money Inc. will face the reuniting Mega Powers for the tag team titles.
Okay. Logan, what about you?
I went with Sean and Marty for the IC title. Just kind of do the Raw match that they have eventually and let Marty win the belt on the big stage, kind of to overtake the heel. I kept Crush and Doink because I think that match fit. It had a storyline going into it, so I would keep that one. I did Yoko and Tatanka. I would like to see Yoko in the undefeated streak because I think that would have done a lot for Yoko, and it would have made it an impactful way to end Tatanka's undefeated streak, so I'd go with that. There's no way in the world that they would book this next match, but I did a triple threat tag team title match between Money Inc., Steiners, and Shrinkers. Just have them have an all-out fight and just take out each other. I went with Perfect and Flair, kind of do the Loser Leaves Town match that they had a couple of weeks prior to WrestleMania, and I think Flair wasn't actually under contract, so if that's void, then I totally get it. I went with Taker Razor just because I think Razor deserves something big after being in the title match the month before. So even if he's like an emissary for Whippleman and Gonzalez, and then they can build to that match at SummerSlam, you know, that could be kind of a way for him to go. I went with Savage and Bret Hart for the title in the main event, and then I just kind of said Luger squashes somebody that's not named Backlund, so maybe Tito. He'd get throw him in there with Tito, and he could kind of squash him real quick, but that would be my card.
I like that, not named Backlund.
Just anything to get Backlund off the card.
Sean, what have you got?
So I went a couple different routes. It depends on if Hogan and Beefcake and Gonzalez are here, but I feel like if you take them out, it'll make it a better card. So I'm taking them all out. So I would have done Tito versus Doink because I feel like we talked about Doink, you know, he could do, I mean, I think this could be a pretty damn decent match and Doink could get a good win over Tito. I would have done Crush versus Luger, let Luger get the win over Crush. I would have done Razor versus Perfect. I would have kept Tatanka versus Michaels. I would have done Bam Bam versus Taker. I would have done Steiners versus Money Inc. for the tag team titles. And I would have been, I would have done Bret versus Macho Man for the world title. I would have done Yoko versus Backlund and let him get a squash and beat the guy who had an hour in the Rumble. And Yoko could go on to King of the Ring to beat Savage. And then Bret could stay on his journey to the world title at the upcoming, and then they could turn Luger face if they want, but they could still do what they want to do with Bret journey into the next WrestleMania. And I had an opening of High Energy versus the Samoans because I think that would have been a really good tag team match to open the show.
Just picking up on what you said there. So Savage wouldn't have turned heel in your scenario.
They would have been a face versus face. Savage would have won, and he would have gone, and Yoko would have gone on to the next pay per view to beat him. And then you could keep everything the same going into next year's Mania.
So I've got Bret and Savage as my main event, but I'm having Savage as a vicious heel during that run. He's winning the Rumble for me. I've kept Money Inc. versus the Mega Maniacs. Like Logan said, Sean versus Marty for the Intercontinental title. Just have that Raw match here. That'd be your anchor match for the show. You know, that'd be your 4.5-star match right there. Razor Perfect, Taker Bam Bam, Yokozuna Tatanka. I'm sorry, Logan, I've got to get Backlund on somewhere so he can get squashed by Luger. And then I've kept Steiners and Shrinkers and Doink and Crush. And I think that's, what's that, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 9 matches? That you can still do that in the 3-hour window? Well, I'll say that for this show. The show did at least move along a bit. Yep. You can't say this show wasn't memorable and didn't move along.
Absolutely.
No, I'd rather watch this any over any of the bloated manias of recent memory.
Oh, absolutely. I do. I totally agree with you there with the look and everything else. So, gentlemen, let us go around and see if anybody's got anything they would like to plug whilst they're here. Logan, what you got coming up, my friend?
We just had a Highway to the Impact Zone episode come out. We talked about Victory Road. Sean and Matt were with me on that one, as well as Callum and Jake. Callum was our first special guest for our pay-per-view shows. We're going to keep doing that with our monthly pay-per-views that we have. I believe Scott Shiflett's going to be our next guest on Turning Point, so looking forward to that one. But we'll discuss the weekly shows between that. We'll have two episodes before we get to our next pay-per-view. Me and Roger last night recorded the next from Squared Circle to the Silver Screen. We talked about the Marine. We talked about John Cena's kind of first foray into being in movies, and we had a ton of fun talking about it. It's kind of an underrated movie. If you haven't seen it in a while, I would suggest watching it. It's a pretty good show. If you kind of take out the fact that it's Cena's first movie and he's, you know, not super comfortable with that area of his career at that point, it's a pretty solid action flick. But yeah, that's all pretty much I've got going on right now.
Excellent. I hear Callum made quite the impression during that Impact.
Oh, that without a doubt.
Sean, what have you got coming up, my friend?
So, NWA Crack and Roll. We just, as of this recording, the part two of November 85 of Rory McNamara dropped. So by the time we get to this airing, we'll be heading into Starrcade 85. So kind of what we've been building up to. So looking forward to talking about that. We are supposed to have Scott on as a guest, Scott Criscolo. So hopefully he gets to join us on that. I also have a new pod that I'm doing, Battlestar in the 25th Century, where me and Scott Shiflett go back and watch Battlestar Galactica and Buck Rogers in the 25th Century. He has never watched those shows, and we live watch them and do commentary and talk just a bunch of bullshit about the show and the things that are goofy, the things that are funny, and the things that are great. So that's a fun watch. We just dropped episode number two on that. And then the last thing I'll plug is Pop Goes to the Couch. Me, Andy, Tim, and Scott have been running down WandaVision. By the time this airs, I believe the last episode of WandaVision would have aired, and we should be getting ready to start up on Falcon and the Winter Soldier. So give that a listen as well.
Excellent. Matt, what have you got coming up, my friend?
Well, like Logan said, you can catch me on every other episode of Highway to the Impact Zone. Please check out the Victory Road episode. It's a long one, but it's a doozy, and it's a damn good one, if I do say so myself. And you can find me on my show over on the Pop Experience piece of the action. Last episode of that had Jennifer Smith on, where we live watched Lethal Weapon, and should have a new episode of that coming up soon-ish. And you can follow me on Twitter at MSouza1991.
Before I forget, thank you so much for coming on, Matt. Before I forget to actually say that, I'll say it now before we get to the outro. Because I know what I like.
Thank you for having me, even though I've ruffled some feathers on this here podcast. Hopefully I'll be welcomed back. Maybe not by all, but we'll see.
That's fine.
I'll welcome you back with open arms.
Matt,
don't worry.
You're always welcome. Matt, Logan and I are going to argue whether you're here or not, so you're always welcome.
you're just in the background rubbing your beard evilly as you're watching them do it.
Look, sometimes I just like being a bringer of chaos. What can I say?
The common denominator is probably me. I have a good run of guests here over the last couple weeks on the pods I'm doing, so it must be me.
Yeah, Sean's just mean. It's going to come down to it.
It's down to me. It's all me. It was Sean all along. That's what.
It was Sean. Do, 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 do. As for me, the latest episode of The Special Relations will have dropped by the time this comes out. Because it's February, it's kind of a lean month. We basically do the do a mailbag episode, because that's what people do when they're out there looking for content. And Sean will be very pleased to hear that we talk all things Sasha Banks and Steve Austin in the show. So look forward to that, Sean.
I do. Yes, I always look forward to that pod. Hey, Ben, I did forget one thing
to
tag on to one of your co-hosts over there, Rory. I'm actually on the next senior video doing the Heart Foundation tape with him, so I forgot to mention that, too.
Yes, he had to stay up late just for you, bless him.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's a really fun listen. So if you want to listen to Sean not give shit takes, go listen to that one.
Oh, I don't believe that for a second.
Yeah, there's no shit takes on that one. I can guarantee it.
Yeah, there may even be, I'll plug something else, there may even be a spinoff of this show that might deliver somewhat of a fatality coming up soon.
Oh, yes. Mm. Yes. Yes, coming to the Pop Experience, maybe possibly next month, he says. He's also stroking his beard quite evilly. Mm. But again, thank you, as always, to Logan and Sean for being here, and to our special guest, Matt Souza. Remember, everybody, in a world where you can be anything you want to be kind. We will be back next month. It's my pick. We are carrying on with the WrestleMania loving. Gentlemen, because we are in the year 2021, where at the time of recording, The Miz is your WWE champion, I thought we'd go back 10 years. Just think about that for a second. We are going back 10 years to WrestleMania 27 for our next show. Matt, can I persuade you to stick around next month?
Ooh, you know, I have that thing I have to do. It's I simply can't miss it.
It's the damnedest thing.
It really is. I've already backed out on this guy 3 times, and I can't do it a fourth. I really look like an asshole. So, unfortunately, I will have to pass.
Yeah, I have a scheduled surgery during that one, so I'll back out too.
Looks like it's just me and you then, Sean.
I have another pod to be an asshole on that night, I think, so.
All by myself. So that will be next month's episode, episode number 11. Thank you again to the boys for being here. My name is Ben Lock. Oh, sorry, not the boys, the guys. Let's get it right. Thank you to the guys for being here for episode number 10 of Wrestling Chicken Salad. We will see you next month. These time I'm gonna come in and they blow down my door. Rainy car part through my window, so they put me in the back the car at the station. From that point on, I reach my destination. Where the destination reaching out of east attention. Where the look down my pants, look up my bottom. So informer, you know, say that I'm a snowman, I go glam. I like it boom boom down. Take the man that say that I'm a snowman, stop somewhere down the lane. I like it boom boom down. Informer, you know, say that I'm a snowman, I go glam. I like it boom boom down. Take the man that say that I'm a snowman, stop somewhere down the lane. I like it boom boom down. So, big all the mothers think they have more power. They want to throw me, say they want to want me. For once I use it once, and now me call me lover. Love who me calling on the one tell me. I me love you in my heart down to my belly. Yes, and I'm a snowman, I feel cool and deadly. It's the one MC Shine and the one that is snow. Together we all have a Mr. Tornado Informer. You know, say that I'm a snowman, I go glam. I like it boom boom down. Take the man that sits, say that I'm a snowman, start somewhere down the lane.